I've looked forward to this morning because I wanted to share what the Lord laid on my heart from this passage of Scripture that Brother Chuck read a moment ago. In the third chapter of Joshua, Joshua, who is God's leader, is talking to God's people, the nation of Israel. And I want you to remember just something about this group of people with me. They were a group of people that ranged in age from little babies to those that were 59 years old. There were only two people in the whole nation of Israel at this time that were over 59 years old. Joshua was one of them, and I'm not sure how old he was. And Caleb was the other one. Because I know from reading over in later on in the book of Joshua that he was about 85 years old. And everybody else was 59 or less, because you remember when they came to the promised land the first time, they disobeyed God and didn't go in. And so God said, everybody that's over 20 is going to have to die. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years as that happened. And so if they were 19, as they came up to the land of Canaan the first time, they would have been about 59 at this particular point in time. And for the past 40 years, this group of people, and probably two-thirds of them, it was their whole life, okay, God had cared for every single day. He had led them. They were led every day by God. They were fed every day by God. They were clothed every day by God. And they were protected every day by God. Now, I want to point out to you, that was a miracle. That was a wonder that God worked. 2.5 to 3 million people that every day he led with a cloud by day and a fire by night. 2.5 to 3 million people that with manna and quail and water from the rock, he made sure that they had enough to eat and drink. 2.5 to 3 million people that their clothes did not wear out and their shoes grew with their feet. Well, I would have liked to have that when my kids were growing up. But that's what he did for these people. Their shoes grew as their feet did. And every single day, these 2.5 to 3 million people, God protected. For 40 years, as they made their way through the wilderness, as the punishment that God put on them was carried out as those over 20 years old died. So here's Joshua. He's standing up before this group of people that all this has happened to, and he says this. He says, tomorrow we're going somewhere that we've never been before. He says in verse 4, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And then he says this in verse 5, tomorrow the Lord's going to do wonders among you. Now, if there was a observant person in that crowd, one that was rational and one that was thinking, that person might have stood and raised his hand like this and said, Joshua, what do you think God has been doing for the past 40 years? I mean, he's been working wonders in our midst for the past 40 years as he's fed us and led us and clothed us and protected us through this wilderness. That's a wonder. That's a miracle. What do you mean tomorrow God's going to do wonders? And Joshua said, hey, I don't mean to discount what God's done. He has worked a wonder and taken care of us the past 40 years. But he says, tomorrow, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. And he says, I just can't wait till tomorrow because it's going to get better. What God is going to do tomorrow is he's going to split a river in half. And he's going to dry a path through the middle of it. And we're going to cross that river on dry ground. And tomorrow, we're going to enter the promised land. The land that flows with milk and honey. The land where the grapes of Eshcol grow. A land where that he's promised to our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tomorrow we're going to go in to that place. And our God, starting tomorrow, is going to drive out a people that are stronger than we are. Our God, tomorrow, is going to start to drive out a people that are better trained than we are. Our God tomorrow is going to start to drive out a people that are better equipped than we are. There's no way the nation of Israel should have been able to drive out the nations that were in the promised land, the nations that were in a land of Canaan. It was only because there was a God in heaven that fought their battles for them that they were able to take the land. And Joshua said, tomorrow, we're going to start to take that land. And we're going to eat crops that we didn't plant. And we're going to drink from wells that we didn't dig. And we're going to live in houses that we didn't build. And what he says, I know that God's worked in our midst. I know that he's worked wonders already. But he says, I can't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I want to do a little testifying this morning. God has done wonders in our midst the past 7 days. I'm talking about between last Sunday, January the 5th, through yesterday, January the 11th, our God, the God of Joshua, the God of Caleb, the God of the nation of Israel, has been working wonders in our midst. Let me just share with you some of those things. Last Sunday, there were 8 people, at least, ready to leave the church. I won't go into why, not important. But they were ready to leave the church, ready to walk away. And God worked a wonder. And they are now recommitted and rededicated to stay where God put them. Last Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, there was a mom and dad that was having a big, big problem with one of their children. So big, in fact, that they were ready to make a decision that was going to be life-changing to them, life-changing to their family, and I thought a negative decision. And as Monday and then Tuesday came, God worked another wonder. And they didn't make that decision. They didn't go down that road that they were thinking about going down. And I know you can't appreciate this as fully as I was, but when I talked on the phone Tuesday afternoon in my office to this dad, and he told me what had happened, I said, praise God! Praise God! Only he could have done it. Only he could have done it. This week, we had 2 people who had a rift in their relationship as wide as the Grand Canyon. And I thought, there's no way that these 2 people are ever going to get back together. But this week, God worked a wonder. The rift has narrowed to probably just a little crack like that. And it was only because of the grace of God. Only he could have done it. This week, 3 of our church members saw God work wonders in their health. Brother Dowlin, you didn't know this, but if you weren't here on Wednesday night, but Monday he had a piece of plaque break loose from one of the arteries or veins in his neck. It went up to his eye. He lost the vision in that eye. It was blurry for a couple of days. He went to the doctor. The doctor said, we probably need to clean out that artery. I don't do it unless it's 80% blocked. Yours is only 68% blocked, but we're going to go ahead and do it. Thursday, he had that surgery. After a successful surgery, the doctor came out and said, it's a good thing we did it. There were other pieces ready to break off. They could have done all sorts of other damage throughout your body. God worked a wonder. On Friday, wasn't it Friday, Warren, when Steve had his surgery? On Friday, Steve Brownfield went in for knee surgery. He had some torn cartilage in his knee. They were going to have to go in and cut it out. And after a 2 or 3 hour surgery, and after a little time in recovery, he got to come home. The doctor said, keep your weight off it for the next 3 days. You're going to have 98% usage of that knee. God worked a wonder. Millie has cancer in her eye, and we were concerned that cancer had spread to other parts of her body. She'd gone to take some tests. She got the results back Friday. And the results were the cancer is only in her eye. It hadn't spread to any other part of her body. And now they're mapping out strategy, how they're going to go in and kill the cancer with radiation. God worked a wonder. Here's another one. I mentioned Cindy Gillette a moment ago. Her trailer burned, but it burned in the middle of the day. They think it was arson, but there was nobody home. Can you imagine what would have happened if that would have happened in the middle of the night when they were sleeping? Trailers burn so fast. Who knows what the results of that fire would have been? God worked a wonder even in a bad thing because he let it happen when nobody was there. And so, I mean, there's five things, and there's some other things I can't share with you, but there's five things right there that I can point to this week and tell you that we have a God that works wonders in our midst. And it shouldn't be surprising to us, because in Psalm 77, the Bible says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among thy people." And he certainly has done that this week. He's worked wonders. He's declared his strength among us. But I got some good news for you this morning. He's not done. He's not done. I mean, the same promise that Joshua made to his people, I make to my people this morning. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among us. He's not done. In fact, hey, you know that today was yesterday's tomorrow? I wonder what God is going to do today in our midst. Maybe he'll work a wonder and save somebody today. It's a wonder every time somebody gets saved. It's a wonder when I got saved. It was a wonder when you got saved. That's why Hebrews calls it so great a salvation. Because you see, we turned away from God. We decided that we were going to go into sin. And all of our good things in our life, when we turned away from God, when we walked, and by the way, God didn't walk away from us. Brother Clint, come up here and help me for a second. Sam, you come up. You guys are close right here. I'll let Brother Clint play God. Let Brother Sam play Jesus. I'll play the sinner this morning. You go over there and stand in the middle, if you would. All right, here's what happened. I had a relationship with God when I was a baby and I was perfect before I sinned. But the first time I sinned, what I did is I turned my back on God. Dale, I need somebody else to come up here and stand right here by Sam. I turned my back on God. And I walked away from God. God always is where he's been. And I turned and walked away from him. I was a sinner. And all the goodness that I had in my life, the Bible says, was like was as filthy rags. All my righteousnesses, plural, all the good things I had in my life were as filthy rags. And so I turned and walked away from God. Now, God had every right to leave me in that condition, but he loved me when I was a sinner. You know what he did for me when I was a sinner? He sent the Holy Spirit to come and get me. Holy Spirit, come and get me. Okay? And the Holy Spirit's job is to woo us back to God. And so the Holy Spirit takes me back toward God. But I just can't go back to God on my own. God had to do something else. And he did that because he loved me when I was yet a sinner. He sent Jesus to die for me. I didn't deserve it when Jesus died for me. And by the way, you didn't either. None of us did. We were sinners. We had turned our back on God. We'd walked away from God. We were the one that broke the relationship. But the Holy Spirit came and get us. Jesus paid for our sin. As he hung on the cross, he took all of my sin and all of your sin upon himself, and he bridged the gap between me and God. He became my mediator. He became my daysman. He became the one that was the go-between between me and God. Grab both of us there, Jesus. He became the go-between between me and God. And when Jesus did that for me, and when he did that for you, what happened is all my sin was blotted out. I got the righteousness of Jesus on my life, and I became a child of God. Okay, thank you, man. And I have a home in heaven. I was headed for hell because of my sin, but I have a home in heaven. And I don't know about you, but in my life, that was a miracle. That was a wonder. That was something that only God could do. I couldn't do it, only he could do. And I wonder if he'll work a wonder today, because today was yesterday's tomorrow. I think maybe he'll work a wonder today and he'll save somebody. Maybe he'll work a wonder today by using somebody. Oh, by the way, when I was thinking about this first point, I thought about that song that Brother Dick likes to sing so much. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great king, this shall my song through eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. A wonder that he saved us. Maybe he'll work a wonder and use us. It's a wonder that God uses any of us. He has all nature. He has all the angels. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He spoke the worlds into existence, the earth and the heavens, and everything that's in them. Don't you think by his word he could accomplish anything that he wants to accomplish? Sure he could. Sure he could. But he's decided to use us. Sometimes I feel like Isaiah did when he wrote in chapter 6, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people." A lot of times I feel like that. I'm a man of unclean lips. Why would God use me to preach the gospel? He does. What a wonder. It's a wonder that he let us teach Sunday school, you that teach. It's a wonder that he lets us lead junior church. It's a wonder that he lets us play the piano and direct singing and sing in the choir and usher and witness and help and be an encouragement to others. It's a wonder. The creator using the created, the strong using the weak, the immortal using the mortal, the perfect using the imperfect. What a wonder. And maybe God will work a wonder and use you today. He used the Sunday school teachers already. He used the choir and Dick and Chris and the ushers and everybody that had a part in the service already used them today. But God, maybe he'll work a wonder this afternoon and use you to tell somebody about Jesus. Maybe he'll work a wonder and use you to encourage somebody that needs to be encouraged. Maybe he'll work a wonder and use you to just give a helping hand to somebody that needs help. Number three, maybe he'll work a wonder and heal another rift. You see, there's still rifts among us as wide as the Grand Canyon. There's still people that don't like one another. There's still people that just tolerate one another. And some of us aren't doing a very good job at that. I want to remind you this morning that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are commanded to love one another. I want to remind you this morning that our love for one another is a test of our salvation. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "He that saith that he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." If you say you're in the light, if you say you're saved and you hate a brother, what John says, you're still in darkness. Our love for one another is also a test for our discipleship. In John chapter 13, the Bible says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And I know I've heard people say, "Well, there's some people I can't love." Well, then I got to say to you, if you're a Christian, they're a Christian, either you're not saved or you've decided not to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, don't get mad at me this morning. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If there's somebody that's a fellow Christian that you don't love, you're either not saved or you've decided not to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, you don't know what they did to me." I don't care what they did to you. If Jesus was able to forgive you, you ought to be able to forgive him. You say, "I can't." No, you're saying the wrong word. What the word you need to say is "you won't." Because my Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And when you say you can't, you're saying that Jesus can't. And I want to remind you this morning, Jesus did, because he forgave every single one of us. God can work a wonder and heal a rift, because nothing is impossible to God. And if he can't, it's because we won't. He can do it, if we'll let him. Quickly, maybe he'll work a wonder and show us again that he's the great physician. We still have cancer to deal with. We still have pregnancies to get through. We still are going to have the ailments that come with age. And if you look at our prayer sheet, you can see that we have a whole list of people that need our prayers because they have a health problem. I'll remind you this morning that every single health problem, cancer, leukemia, every disease that is known to man is under the command of God. I read that story again this week about that ruler coming to Jesus. His servant was sick, and he sent his friends, the Jews, to see if they could get Jesus to come to his house. He was a Gentile, to heal his servant. And they did, and Jesus started to come. But this ruler sent a message to him. He says, "Oh, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house, Jesus. All you got to do is say the word." He says, "I'm a man with authority. When I say to one man to do something, he goes and does it. And when I say to another man, he goes and does that. I know all you got to do is speak the word, and this disease that my servant have will leave." And Jesus said, "I've not seen so great a faith in Israel." I want to tell you, that's the same God that we serve. He could, by his word, get rid of sickness. Or he could use a doctor, or he could use an operation, or he could use medicine. He's still the great physician. And maybe he'll work a wonder today by reminding us again that he's the great physician. And then number five, maybe he'll do a wonder today by just directing us, by feeding us, by clothing us, by protecting us. He does that every day. Say, "Oh no, I work, and I'm the one that feeds myself, and I'm the ones that clothe myself, and I don't need any direction." Oh, you got it all wrong. God does all that. He just uses your job to do it. If you didn't have that job, he'd figure out some other way to do it. It's God that does it. And he's done it so long for most of us that we take it for granted. And we shouldn't. Every day at the end of the day, or every day at the beginning of the day, we ought to look toward heaven and say, "Thank you, God, for taking care of me today. Thank you, God, for giving me direction today. Thank you, God, for feeding me today, for making sure I have clothes to wear, a place to live. Thank you, God, for the strength and health that I do have today." So many of those things, you don't realize what you have until you lose them. And then you realize what a great blessing it is and a wonder it is that God does it every day for us. So I want to say to you this morning, my folks, what Joshua said to his folks: it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Yes, he's worked wonders among us this past week. I could point to eight. Some of them I couldn't tell you about this morning because I didn't know how to share them without giving away who was involved. But I can name eight, and I'm sure there were eight more that I didn't know about. He's worked wonders in our midst the past 7 days. I mean, we could see him. I can point to him. I can tell you about him. But I'm excited just like Joshua was, because it's going to get better. Tomorrow, he's going to work more wonders. Tomorrow, he's going to do some more things that only he can do. And I can't wait. I can't wait. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you that you're a God that doeth wonders, not a God made out of sticks and stones with ears and can't hear and eyes and can't see and hands and can't handle and feet that can't go anywhere. A lot of people today, back in Joshua's day, worship gods like that, but you're not like that. You're a God that doeth wonders. Thank you for being that kind of God. Thank you for what you've done for us this past week. But God, we need more. Tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, we still need you to work wonders in our midst. We need some wonders today. There's some folks here that aren't sure they're going to heaven. There's some folks here that still stand guilty for their sin. And they need to come and they need to receive Jesus this morning. They need you to work the wonder of salvation in their life. And so I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would woo them to the Savior. I pray right now that they could understand they're a sinner and Jesus is the only way to take care of that sin. He's the only way to get right with God. And I pray right now that they'd make that decision to receive Jesus. Father, I pray there'd be somebody here that would say like Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord, use me. Send me. I'm not worthy, but I'm willing to go if you send me." I pray, Father, that there's somebody here that there's a rift between them and another Christian. And I pray this morning that they would cross that rift, that they would reach out a hand through Christ and heal it. And then, Father, so many other things that you could do with us and through us if we'd let you. I just pray that we'd surrender ourselves to you this morning, that we'd be your people, and that you would work wonders in our midst because we're available. and we're willing. Bless the invitation. Use it, dear Lord, to accomplish your will in our life. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.